A very special thanks to our $5 fans. Andrew Anker, Carl Nelson, Stephen Fox, David McCreath, Brendan Adkins, Lucius Kwok, Daniel Frizzell, Sheriff Derek, Samantha Soma, and Patrick Breton.
I think you should just always use that voice.
Always?
How long could you go with that voice?
I thought it could go a long time. I think that if I start talking one way, I can just kind of carry it out. Because sometimes I just do low voice. Sometimes if I talk a lot, I think that my voice gets higher. So
your voice gets higher when you drink. The couple of times that
you mean if I drink.
Yeah, the couple of times I've seen you drink, your voice gets higher. Hi, you're on Let's Make Mistakes. And this is Mike.
This is Jesse.
And we have a guest with us today.
Where?
Why don't you introduce our guest, Jesse?
Yes. We've got my friend and co-founder, Bradley Ellis, on today. Or just Brad Ellis. What do you prefer? Do you prefer one?
Brad's fine.
Or your coffee name?
My coffee name, yeah. Frank.
Frank. Just Frank.
Bradley.
Yeah.
That's never occurred to me before.
Instead of Bradford, that's the other option.
That is the other option. Suppose you're right.
Yep.
Isn't Brad just its own name, though? Like, can't you just be Brad?
According to the name etymology things, that means broad, and Lee refers to forest. So I am a broad forest.
So something I've never understood is those parents who are like, they have a kid, and they're like, this is Stanley, but we're going to call him Stan. Well, why the fuck didn't you just name him Stan?
Well, that's like me. I'm Jessica, but I'm called Jesse.
Right, but
I think if you're going to go for a name, you might as well just go for like the full one and then just use the parts that you want. Because I think maybe it gives you more options. I think it depends on the name, right? But William has just a sea of different kinds of different ways to nickname it, right?
Willie,
Billy. What's the one with Dick? Richard.
What's the one with Dick? Ringtone alert.
So, if you want your kid.
Caleb, can you please make a ringtone where Jesse just says, what's the one with Dick? We can sell that.
Mike, I was just speaking with my mother, who apparently listens to this podcast now.
Really?
She didn't realize that there was more than one episode of it. She thought that there was just like one, but then recently realized that it's a reoccurring event. And do you know what she said about it?
What?
She said that Mike is very likable. She's like, Mike is very likable. He seems really nice.
Mom, this is like my superpower. Moms love me.
My mom is probably listening to this right now.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hello, Bonnie. How are you?
Oh, really? How was your day?
You know, you should give me a call because we have some things that we need to talk about, Jesse.
Don't be mean.
I'm not going to be mean. We're just going to talk like grown-ups.
Okay.
She'll ask you all about her dating life.
Yeah.
Oh, we could go for an hour.
It's not funny anymore.
Okay.
So, Mike, I wanted to ask you some questions. That's why I'm here.
Oh, you're hosting now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for being on my show.
Well, I think now that it's two-thirds Pacific Helm, I think that it's that Pacific Helm podcast now. That's
where we're at. Don't you guys have a t-shirt for sale somewhere?
Somewhere.
Shouldn't you mention that?
We have a t-shirt for sale on Cotton Bureau. Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Cottonbureau.com, I assume?
I hope so. It's on Pacific Helm's Twitter page.
At Pacific Helm. Louis did it. So
I'm sure it's still fine.
Oh, no, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It's got our updated logo on it.
Brad and I were like in a meeting, and I was like, oh, we sell a t-shirt now.
Just okay. Delightful.
Yeah.
Just delightful.
All absolutely right. Wonderful. That's the kind of antics that happen at my company, at least. At least it's productive money-making things.
Yeah, we used to have fun. We had fun when you worked here.
It's true. I had fun. There was fun that happened. I'm sure you still have fun. I see all those toys you have outside. So, Brad, you wanted to ask Mike some questions today.
Yeah. You had Clark go on back in Lady Vember.
Oh, God.
Mike and doesn't want to think about it.
Lady Vember.
It's the dark month.
Yes, Clarko. I have fond memories of Clarko.
You mentioned a story about making a print with a Mountain Goats lyric, them reaching out to you, and you taking it down. Do you recall?
Yes, I can make up a story. No, I recall that story very well.
So I wanted to ask you some other questions about that and sort of what guides you in your path as an artist for what's appropriate and what's not, and sort of some stuff in there. So can you summarize the story again, just in case I've forgotten anything?
Well, so first off, this artist thing, I want to make sure to define that. That's totally outside my life as a designer. Like, I have a studio where I go and I paint stuff, and the best thing about it is that it's just me, and I don't have to listen to client feedback, and I can do whatever I want, and I don't even need to come up with reasons for anything. So that's what I see as the main difference between the two.
Absolutely. This is not a podcast about design right now. This is a podcast about art.
So we're going to do a podcast about art.
Yes.
And okay, making mistakes. Got it.
Which is, well, that's a great place to make mistakes. And I made one. I made a doozy. So I've been doing these, or I was doing, probably still doing at some point, these paintings that were just sentences. And it was more about just getting the hell away from everybody and going into my studio. So on whatever day I was going to go, I would think, well, what the hell do I want to paint today? And this lyric popped into my head. And it was from a Mountain Goat song. So I said, oh, that's great. I'll paint that. I want a nice big painting of that. And 20 by 200 said, hey, we want to do a print of that painting. And I thought, well, okay, let's do a print of that painting. And at that point, so the print of the paintings in all these various sizes that they sell went up online and people started buying them. And then at some point, John Darnielle from the Mountain Goats saw it, and he was like, dude, these are my lyrics. This is weird. And I said, yeah, I know. That song really means a lot to me, which it does. And he was like, yeah, but dude, those are my lyrics. And I got it. Like, I totally saw where I screwed up. And so I think it was totally fine for me to paint whatever the hell I wanted to paint and, like, hang it up in my studio, hang it up in my living room, give it to a friend, whatever. I think the minute that I agreed to make prints of it and sell it to other people, I think that was a giant fuck up, because those weren't my words. And I was now making money off of them. And that I think, was the problem.
So where in that path could you have fixed it?
And I just want to say, he was totally cool about it. I mean, he could have sued my ass for it.
Yeah, it wasn't a kind of bloop situation.
No, I mean, it was straight up, I fucked up. Mm-hmm. And he was a gentleman, and I don't sell that anymore. Mm-hmm. But I totally got his point of view, and I learned something. And I should have known that already. I think I was just blinded by the whole, yeah, I'm going to do a thing, la-di-da. Oh, somebody wants to sell it. Yeah, sure, that'll be great.
So how could you have changed your process to do it correctly?
I should have said no. I should have said no to the prints. And that's something that, like, now, if, like, I still feel like I can paint whatever the hell I want. Mm-hmm. But the idea of making multiples of that thing and selling it as a commodity, mm-hmm. that's the fuck up. That's what I should have said no to.
So would it, but maybe it would have been, you would have felt more ethical just like selling the painting itself? Or do you think that that's still crossing the line if you're making any money off of it? Like, mass producing it.
I think it's the mass production. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
So this is more about what feels right, and mm-hmm. I could be totally wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Shepard Fairey had made one Hope print and hung it up in his living room, I don't think the AP would have come after him. I don't think he would have broken a copyright law. I mean, he might have, but who the fuck cares if he had made one? It's the fact that it started popping up everywhere, and this photographer was like, hey, wait a minute, I took that photo. I think that's when it became a problem. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same with the painting. The minute that I started making multiples, and I wasn't doing a thing. There was just a giant printer that was cranking these out. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that making one with my own hand and just having it live as one object, I think that's fine.
So would you have been?
But you know, if John in this case were mm-hmm. to disagree with that, I would take his feelings over mine in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Would you have been willing to, like, if John was like, hey, I really think this is cool and I'm glad that my lyrics are getting out in another form, but could you give me half of what you're making? Or, like, would you have been receptive to something like that?
I think he would have been totally entitled to that. Mm-hmm. I think that was totally within his providence.
That word that we can't remember right now.
But yeah, that would have been like totally like it would have been bummed because I don't have that money anymore. And it wasn't, and it's not like I didn't get rich off of these things.
Right.
Yeah. Was it sold at West Elm? Was it one of your prints that was sold at West Elm?
No, it was not. God.
So you do things in Helvetica, right? Is that
yes.
what font it is? And I assume that whatever license you have purchased that font with covers your ability to redraw it and produce it.
I suppose so. I hadn't thought about that, but
right. Who cares?
I could give a shit about that one.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I asked though, is, you know, if you had a font from a lesser foundry, like, would that be something you would care about? If the foundry was like, hey, actually I made that Iron Man font or whatever.
Yeah. Like, I guess, good example of that, maybe like a friend of Let's Make Mistake, Jessica Hish. Like, mm-hmm. if you did a painting in one of her fonts.
If it's something that she offers up commercially that I bought a license mm-hmm. for, mm-hmm. I think that's totally acceptable. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is me using my license to create my thing with it. Mm-hmm. If it's something that she did a one-off of, mm-hmm. Like
a lettering thing instead of
right,
a font,
like a yeah. lettering thing, and I was like, hey, that's nice. I'm going to use that same typeface that she used on this one of a kind object, and I'm going to use it myself to create my own object. Unless the point of the object I was making was about taking somebody's thing mm-hmm. and transforming it, which is, you know, I think totally acceptable. If that's the point that I'm trying to make, then sure. But it wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not making a point about Helvetica.
Yeah. So I think, so what this reminds me of is like the famous misquote / rehashed quote that always gets thrown around, which is that good artists copy, great artists steal.
Sure.
There are so many versions of that. I think Brad and I were kind of looking at...
Well, I came up with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You and Steve Jobs and Pablo Picasso.
Right.
And
Tchaikovsky, right?
Gandhi.
Stravinsky.
Stravinsky.
It was Igor Stravinsky was the first one who kind of used that phrase.
Right.
In reference to music stuff. And I think that often gets thrown around as an excuse to copy other people's work. And so I guess, you know, what is that in relation to what we were just talking about? What does that mean to you that great artists steal?
Oh, that you find the best ideas wherever you find them and mm-hmm. then you make them your own. And I think that's an important yeah. part of the process. Mm-hmm. And I mean, designers do this all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, and we do this, you know, in Photoshop, we do this in code. We take something that somebody else has done, mm-hmm. and then we apply our layer of knowledge to it, and we advance it to the next step.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's the whole point with the design stuff. Is you don't want to be reinventing a navigational hierarchy every time.
Right.
Master mm-hmm. detail works real well in this app. I'm going to take that and use it in mine.
Yeah. Right. Which is also why software patents are such a huge fucking mess, right? Because that...
I mean, there's... Yeah. Somebody holds a patent on rounded corners. Like how... like.
And in-app purchases, apparently. Mm-hmm.
The table that we're sitting at right now has slightly rounded corners.
Yeah. Yeah. It's silly. So I think, so the reason Brad has been kind of interested in this lately is because several months ago, Brad started kind of just doing artwork for yourself.
Yeah, my walls had not had anything on them in my room. Nothing was right. So at some point, one weekend, I was like, I'm going to do it. This weekend, I'm going to make a bunch of prints for my wall that are all kind of in the same style with different colors of things that I like.
Uh-huh.
Things that I feel like represent me, because that's why they're on my wall. The end product of that is that all of these things are licensed works. It's all like...
Not all of it, but...
Not all, but a lot of them.
80% of it, yeah.
I mean, it's like, this was meaningful. This is something from Rain Man. You know, I drew the toothpicks that he drops on the floor.
Sure.
I drew some stuff from the 1993 game Myst, because that was a meaningful thing in my life.
Played it all the way through.
Right, yeah, it's good. Gotta get open that book. You know, Watchmen or like Bob Ross, you know, things that I was like, these were important in my life that I put up. But then the minute that I put them up, as people are over at my house, then they also want one.
Right.
And so then that begs the question, well, do I take this to the next level and then start selling them on the internet?
Now they are, I mean, they're very, we can link to this on the page. They're very stylized, they're very distinctive, and they are interpretations of things.
Right. I mean, I believe, again, I'm not a lawyer, mm-hmm. but I believe that the word transformative is important here. Like, have you transformed the original into something of your own?
I mean, some cases, yes. Some cases, probably not as much. If I do something like draw the Daft Punk helmets, like those are kind of... It's sort of a sketch. I mean, sort of a trace, I guess.
Right.
And then other things, and I've kind of taken that and I have to run with it because I don't have something to base it off of. So I need to be a little bit more abstract. And so those ones are more my own. And then it drifts into things that are fully my own or based on photos that I've taken. And so I do have, you know, kind of all the way that direction. And so there's, but then what's funny then is that where is that line in the middle is the other thing to figure out. Like these prints are okay and then these ones aren't is another thing then that I have to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So sort of what, so right now, personal use, right? As you said earlier, I'm going to just draw whatever the fuck I want because it's for me.
Yeah, you can draw whatever the fuck you want.
It's mine. And I can put it on the internet. And if you've ever tried to search for something Star Wars, you can find someone who's made it.
Right.
What do you want? Mic stand Star Wars? Someone's probably made...
But the minute that you take a likeness of a Star Wars character and you put it on a print and you sell it to somebody and you put the Star Wars logo on it, George Lucas and now Disneyland, or mm-hmm. Disney, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. Disney is going to come after you and say, hey, wait a minute, that's our intellectual property. Mm-hmm. And do you really want to fight Disney on that?
No.
I mean, even if... Like, even if you can make a case for I've made a transformative work of art from this, and it's, you know, I've appropriated your intellectual property, and I'm making some sort of point by using your intellectual property for my own purposes and to say something about your intellectual property. I mean, God, millions of works of art have been done, you know, appropriating Mickey Mouse. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's Mickey Mouse is usually really important to those pieces.
Right.
And they're usually, you know, there's usually a message in there about trademark laws or something or blah, blah, blah. And sometimes they're funny and sometimes they're heavy-handed as fuck. And, but it's important to know that, to know that it's a trademarked piece of thing.
Yeah, something I think about with those as I'm thinking about it, you know, you said transformative, and after it's been transformed, when I look at something, the something I think about is, what's making this cool? Is it cool because it's Mickey Mouse, or is it cool because of something that I've added to the situation?
Right.
And now some of those characters are so strong. Mickey Mouse, an example, like, don't fuck with the mouse, first off. But it's going to be cool because Mickey Mouse is in it, I think, in that case.
Right.
Whereas I've made other more obscure things that are cool on their own. Even if someone doesn't know what The Watchmen is, they may enjoy that piece of art.
But, you know, if you just draw a picture of Mickey Mouse and, you know, sell it as here's a funny picture that I drew of a mouse, then that's kind of fucked up, because people are going to be looking at it like, wait a minute, that's Mickey Mouse. Why? Is he trying to pass this off as something other than Mickey Mouse? I don't get it.
Right. So there's another thing, kind of another aspect to this, which I find interesting, which is that some, I'm going to use the word brands, but whatever, some things have the ability to produce any item that I'd want. So Disney is an interesting example, and Star Wars. If you go to Disneyland, they have every kind of art style you could ever want. Yep. They've made prints. You can buy those prints. You can buy all the toys, beanies, hats, buttons, etc. Same with Star Wars. Because they have the production ability to go to China and make those items, ship them here, manage the inventory, manage the production of more Christmas ornaments, etc. But there are so many things that don't have that ability. Lesser things like whatever show, you know, Archer on FX or It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia aren't going to have the ability to make that knitted beanie. And so what I think is interesting about some stuff like Etsy, if you go into Etsy, there's whole sections that are just licensed work.
Yep.
People are just, you know, stealing, and they're making a sweet beanie that I wouldn't be able to get because Fox is never going to produce that beanie for me.
Yep. Yeah. Or
Etsy, like, provides me a way to get that beanie.
Zisu hats and things like
that.
Yeah,
and you know, honestly, I mean, going back to that painting I did, I mean, the fact that I decided that I should stop doing this, I mean, the fact that it was John Darnielle who was upset was a huge deal, because this is somebody who I admire. And, you know, somebody who's out there trying to make a living as a musician. If I had done, like, a Star Wars quote, and, like, somebody from Disney's like, hey, you can't do this, I would probably have said, fuck you. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, I can. I mean, it's you know, I might have stopped because I was afraid of their army of lawyers. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't have stopped because I felt like I'd actually
violated them.
Violated the intellectual rights of somebody I admire, mm-hmm. which was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like I'd betrayed someone.
Yeah, I mean, with your paintings, I can understand the perspective of, because it's word-based and phrase-based largely. I guess because the phrase is such a primary...
Well, it's the only thing. It's the only thing in the painting.
It's the only thing in the painting. And so if it's somebody else's phrase, I can understand that. But then when Brad is talking about, like, you know, like your take on the Speed Racer vehicle, like, I don't know. It's just an interesting, where is the line?
Like, there's another painting that I did, which was a Mike Tyson quote, which, you know, if Mike Tyson said, hey, wait a minute, I said that, I'd be scared for different reasons.
I can arrange that.
Yeah, I think we know people who know Mike Tyson.
But Mike Tyson doesn't, but that's, you know, having said something, like using a quote, mm-hmm. and, you know, doing a painting of something that somebody said at one point, mm-hmm. like in passing, I think that's different than a painting of a lyric from somebody who lives off of his music and lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, arguably that lyric is his art, right? Or, I mean, it's right. John Darnielle's art.
Right.
And Mike Tyson is not, and the words he speaks are not necessarily poetry.
Right.
So.
This one was, but.
What was it?
Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Same as your back tattoo.
That's my back tattoo. Yeah. Hi, mm-hmm. Mom. And then there's another.
And, you know, I think it also I think it also made a difference to me that this, I mean, mountain goats are pretty well known, but I don't think they're, you know, like billionaires off of their music.
They're,
I mean,
no, they're definitely boys.
Right. Yeah. Like, I think, like, if I had done a Backstreet Boys, really, that's the reference we're going
that's
with?
That's where we're going, yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to think of a band, and that was the first one that came to my mind.
If I had done, like, a Backstreet Boys lyric, I think I would have felt totally different if the Backstreet Boys contacted me and said, you can't do that with our lyrics. And they might have, they would have probably been right, but I could have not given two fucks.
So with a lot of stuff that I'm looking at as I ask friends and other people, I get this like, well, probably no one cares. Probably no one's going to come after you is the general. And that's, I mean, Etsy and the whole like nerd section of the Etsy store right. would be fucked if people were coming after them. But no one really cares
right.
is kind of what's happening at the end of the day. And so what I wrestle with is like, does that make it okay then for me to do it?
Well, not getting caught makes a lot of things okay. And I think that's the gamble that a lot of people are taking on Etsy. And what do I do if I fail is a much easier question to answer than what do I do if I succeed? If the people doing all that stuff on Etsy, you know, either, if you fail, you go home. And, you know, they go off to another thing. If they do moderately well, like if they sell one knit cap of an angry bird a week, like nobody's going to care. If all of a sudden they start selling 100 knit angry bird caps an hour, somebody's going to care. So what do they do in that situation if they succeed? Like at that point, you've got a problem.
Mm-hmm. So what you want is mild success.
Just mild.
Right. It's like all those people out on Market Street with the knit caps. Yeah. They all have Angry Bird knit caps.
Mm-hmm. I saw an Angry Bird bong in the window of a head shop.
The water pipe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is a family show, Jesse.
Come on, it's fine. We all know what it is. I don't think that glass artist got in trouble for their interpretation of Angry Birds.
Well, that's what's interesting about the knit cap thing, because the knit cap is brand aligned with air quotes around it, which is like, it's not actually that crazy compared to the bong, which is something that I could see the Angry Birds Corporation of Finland wanting to avoid having their image on
right.
more strongly.
And I think it's also worth noting the difference between art and commerce here. Mm-hmm. I mean, one painting is a piece of art. If you start like just knocking prints off, if you've got like 300 prints of this thing for sale, you've entered the world of commerce. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably important to note.
That is a good one. Yeah, so I wonder if you were painting things one off. These are my four prints that I've made by them. I mean, does that make it okay?
I think so. Hmm. And I, again, not a lawyer.
Right.
I think it's the minute that you set up shop and start, you know, collecting credit card numbers that you have to ask yourself, is this the argument that I want to have? And if the answer is yes, then have it. Because I think it is worth challenging intellectual property mm-hmm. in a lot of cases. I think a lot of great artistic statements can be made by challenging intellectual property. But you have to know that's the argument that you're about to get into. You have to want to get into that argument, and you have to be okay with the fight. It's like the fight ends up being the actual piece of art in that case. It's like the whole argument about the Hope poster was ultimately more interesting than the Hope poster.
Mm-hmm. I thought the Some Kind of Bloop thing was interesting as well when that all went down. Oh, do you
I remember
recall?
That. Yeah. We've had Andy on the show before.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Because mm-hmm. the final product that he had produced while comparing it to the original was, you know, obviously it's the same picture. I don't know. It was so cool.
It was very cool.
So cool.
And
it was like a PayPal, like $2 buy, right? Yeah. I mean, it wasn't.
I hope I'm remembering this correctly. But if I am, Andy said that he actually contacted the musicians who played on the album and got their permission to redo the music, mm-hmm. but he never contacted the photographer. Mm-hmm. And I find that very odd. Like there were two groups of people whose work he was using, the music and the art on the cover. Mm-hmm. He contacted one and not the other.
I think that it's easier to say that in hindsight, but I'm just trying to think, like, if I were in that position where I were, say, like, making a funny parody of like a movie, and I contacted the, say, director or something like that, and was like, hey, can I make a parody of your movie? And then I made a pixel art version of like the DVD box. It wouldn't occur to me that would be a totally separate thing to have to get approval for.
Because the one was the thing that you went into with your energy. The last thing was something you just smacked out at the end.
Yeah. Because usually when you think of an album, even though, you know, like you think of it all as one thing and the music is kind of the primary part of it.
Right.
Right? Because there's probably albums where like there wasn't a special photographer who took a special picture who was his special picture. There's probably a lot of album artwork where like you can just ask Mariah Carey and it's okay because the photographer for Mariah Carey is not going to go after you. But I don't know.
Well, wait a minute, yeah. Because she might not have the rights to that photo.
Yeah, and so I guess that's what I would assume.
So
it's
one lesson,
totally an assumption.
One lesson that I've learned in life: do not fuck with photographers, ever. Photographers, I mean, it is so easy to steal their work, mm-hmm. so incredibly easy, and I mean, the majority of imagery that's on the web today is people just, well, I need a photo to go with this article I just wrote. I'm going to do a Google image search. Oh, there's a good one. I'm going to grab it, post it, boom. Mm-hmm. There's no attribution. There's no, you know, checking to see if you can actually use the rights to that. And most people don't even think of that. And even those that do think of it are like, oh, I'll probably get away with this.
Mm-hmm. Is there a pre-internet, post-internet shift in that at all? Now that you can just find a fuck ton of images whenever you want, as compared to the mid-80s? I mean, I guess it was just way harder to rip off images back then. But there were also less images. I don't know. I just wonder how that changes over time. Maybe not. Maybe not interesting. I'll shut up.
Well, I mean, it would be interesting to get a photographer here and talk about that. I'm not a photographer. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, back in the 80s when we were making like show flyers, you took a photo, you Xeroxed it, and the Xerox was a piece of shit, so you immediately transformed the photo into something else, something like incredibly black and white and graphic. Mm-hmm. So
I knew some people that used to make all their income from selling images on royalty, you know, on Corbis or
yep.
whatever, and then that market dried up for them, and so now they're in this place entering the 21st century where they have to, and they thought that was going to be their retirement. Was yep. cool, I got money coming in from those random wedding photos, and that's what I got for the rest of my life. And now they're hitting this thing where their retirement is drying up. That's my bottle, sorry. The retirement's drying up because now anyone can make a stock photo. That's not rocket science. So I wonder if there's a little bit of those people that used to think their way of life was going to be X and Y and now can't benefit from that. I mean, I know people too. I think Jason Permenter did this when he made a poster for someone where it's like the rights of usage for the poster was that you can't change anything. You have to contact him in order to change it, which is something that I was taught in design school that you should do.
Right.
But now that everyone has a copy of Photoshop, I mean, we get this all the time on our client work where people are like, can you just send me the PSD so I can change 2 pieces of copy and send it back?
God, you send people the PSDs?
Depends. Depends on the client.
Yeah, it depends on the kind of project.
They pay for it. Usually it's in the SOW.
I mean, rights management for photos are complex as hell. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's royalty based, there's non-royalty based, there's, you know, license per particular use. And that's the one that usually gets people. Like, I licensed this photo to use it on my website. And now we're having a program where we're like having people over to a thing and I put it on the cover of the program. We just violated your license.
Mm-hmm. It's too complicated.
Yeah, the reason we send people PSDs is because we do, you know, a fair amount of design with no development. And so we need to deliver developers something that they can use. Because you guys at Mule do front-end development. So
yeah,
you can deliver designs without having to deliver PSDs, whereas we, depending on, you know, what we're doing for a client, can't do that all the time.
And we don't send over PSDs just willy-nilly.
Yeah.
But, like, if we do, like, iTunes screenshots for someone,
yeah,
then...
Logos we don't, generally.
Yeah, logos we don't.
And icons.
So it depends.
Yeah.
Depends on the project.
Yeah.
And if they're friends.
Yeah, no. Just giving them damn
PSD. Oh, definitely don't send them if they're friends. Those are the people who are going to change everything on you and then send it back and tell you, how about like this?
You know, I don't really use text in my designs anyways, so not that much of an issue. Keep it all image-based.
But photographers got to eat, right?
I mean,
this is their livelihood. They go out and then, you know, they take these photos. Sometimes they put themselves in these really weird situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
Yeah. I'm trying to think about, you know, where, like, are we in a position right now where photographers are being victimized for it? Or is it just that there is more imagery available on the internet and they need to figure out how to monetize themselves better?
Oh,
in
I don't,
this day and age?
I'd stay away from the word victimized.
I mean,
ripped off.
Yeah, that's, but I mean, I guess that's what it is. Like where... I think about it like in relation to like other I don't know how to phrase this without it seeming like I'm saying too much about photography, but things like publications and magazines where it's just like those are just slowly dropping off. And is it the fault of the internet for making information more available, or is it the fault of the magazine for not keeping up with technology and what people have easy access to? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't even know if fault is the word I'd use.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got an evolution in publishing going on. But I mean, there's you know, shifts that happen in mm-hmm. industries, and there's always some poor sucker who, you know, just bought a Heidelberg press at the same time that, you know, the print industry collapsed, and he is fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the internet's fault.
Nor is it his.
Nor is it his fault. He just got stuck at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
He just bought that press at the wrong exact time.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks, but I don't know that you can blame the emerging industry for it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that has anything to do with what we're talking about.
It might not. I'm just trying to wonder about like how, you know, you were saying photographers are having a harder time because their shit gets stolen so easily.
Other shit's always been stolen.
Yeah.
It's just easier now.
Yeah. So easy. And, you know, how is it, like, is there a solution to that?
So, all right. I'll steal TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used to download the occasional TV show or movie.
Mm-hmm.
Back when it was really, really hard
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
do it otherwise. And then, like, this was pre-iTunes.
Yeah, and Apple TV.
Right, and pre-Apple TV. Now I turn on my TV, and iTunes is like, hey, for, you know, $3, you can watch this movie. Well, sure, okay, here's your $3. Because they made it easy. They made the right thing... God, we're going to get email. Not the right thing.
Yeah.
But, well, they made the thing that the creator of that piece of art wants me to do the easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So So I'm perfectly happy to give them their $3, much happier than I am spending like whatever time I would have spent like searching for that movie illicitly. And then I remember like using like conversion software.
Handbrake.
And then it's the German version.
Right.
Oh, and then it's, oh, I hate
3 hours later. What? It's Elf in German, goddammit.
Those Germans.
What movie? We kept doing that to Grease. That's right.
It's on Netflix now.
Because all of the intro was all in English, so we thought it was good, but it's just because they were singing a song, and then the minute they started talking.
Yeah, not that we illegally download anything. Not that that's a thing, but there are some movies that don't sell DVDs.
I just want to watch all of digital. Seinfeld. And how can I do that?
It's not on Netflix?
Nope.
I think that it's sucks. Still in syndication on cable is mm-hmm. why.
Oh, I'm sure it is. So here's another one that people complain about all the time. The Adobe Creative Suite cloud license.
You mean the thing that's like $40 a month?
And then it's like $40 a month.
Oh, I'm happy with that. It makes it easier.
So back when I was starting as a designer, and Adobe's one of the sometimes sponsors of this show.
We love Typekit.
They'll be thrilled to hear this. Back when I was starting as a designer, I didn't have $750 for Photoshop. And I don't know anybody who did. So I stole it, as many people did. Mm-hmm. And one of my most exciting days as a designer was the day that I was finally able to pay for my own version of Photoshop. I was very proud to have my own serial number. So it wasn't that I wanted to steal it. It's just, what 19-year-old has $750?
Truth.
By the way, that's a very different answer back when I was 19 than here in San Francisco now. So screw all of you. But you didn't have $750 for a piece of software. So you wanted to learn how to use this, and you wanted to eventually become a professional at this, so you did the only thing you could was you stole it. And now for $40 a month, and I probably could have managed $40 a month when I was 19. Mm-hmm. For $40 a month, I can actually use it.
I think it's just 20 if you only want Photoshop.
Sure, yeah. Or 20, mm-hmm. And that's a much easier price of entry, even if I'm paying it recurrently, than it is to have to plunk down $750 all at once.
Yeah, or BitTorrent it, or right. Pirate Bay it, or whatever.
And so that's another case of they were trying to cut down on the amount of people who were stealing it and illegally downloading it. And I think that the cloud plan, we're going to get so much hate mail about this, the cloud plan actually helps with that.
Yes. I wonder, though, how that affects the youth of today. Because as someone who's also stealing it, I got to learn how to use it. And
sure.
Then by the time I could
stole it in the past. We super pay for it now. But yes.
Obviously.
Obviously.
No. But so I had, for the Photoshop thing, I had classes that I took in fourth and fifth grade at Adobe that taught me how to use Photoshop for like, it was like a after school program.
That's great.
We'd all sit in a computer lab and make movies with After Effects, and I put my face onto magic cards. And then I didn't get to use it then for another 3 years because I couldn't figure out how to. So I just, that knowledge kind of slowly started to drop off.
You mean you couldn't get your hands on it?
Couldn't get my hands on it. Until Kazaa came out when I was in high school, or LimeWire, or yeah. Something. And then I got a copy again, and then kind of rekindled that knowledge of how to use it, and then that shaped what I did as a profession, because I was able to get my hands on the tool. I was able to learn it, and now I'm a Photoshop expert.
Yeah, and you know, as a parent of a 16-year-old, like, if my kid said, hey, can I get $20 a month for a Photoshop license? You know, I'd ask, well, what are you using it for? And if he gave me a good enough answer, I'd be happy to do it. And if he said, well, can I get $750 for a Photoshop license? That's a much bigger, like, I don't know if I'm going to give him $750. Because I don't know if he's going to play with this thing for like a couple of hours on this first day and then never touch it again.
Yeah,
If he does that, I'm down. If he does that now, I'm out $20 and then I just don't renew it.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting contrast to things like musical instruments that are far more money than that. You know, like I played cello all throughout school and that's just like thousands of dollars for a thing that I didn't end up doing as a profession.
Sorry, Bonnie.
Sorry, Mom. And you know, like you can't steal that. So my parents had to pay for it.
So Bonnie, I was over at her apartment and the cello is just sitting there laying on the floor with dirty clothes draped all over it. And like, it looks like liquor's been poured on it. And
as long as it appreciates. That's the difference with musical instruments is that they appreciate in value or stay relatively the same.
Yeah, and software.
She was using the bow to hold the door open as a doorstop.
Oh my God, I would never do that. Nobody's allowed to touch my bow.
We can talk about that too, Bonnie.
Yeah. The worst. So it's just, it's interesting because, like, does Henry have any musical instruments?
Oh, yeah. He's got a couple of guitars, a bass.
Shaker.
I bought him a banjo for Christmas. Mm-hmm. He plays all of them.
Triangle.
Yeah. Because, like, I feel like if, obviously, I am not old enough to have children. But I think at this point.
Bonnie disagrees.
It's true. I've got calls.
Disagrees. But, you know, I feel like, you know, if I were to have a teenager who was like, I want this software because it will help me with my career, I would do it. But that's because, like, I work in a software-based tech company thing and I see the value in it.
Mm-hmm. What if they ask you for a phone so they could Snapchat?
That's just silly. I don't understand Snapchat. I'm too old for it. I think that
I actually couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, it's.
I couldn't figure out how it worked, which is pathetic.
Maybe I'll make a print about that I can sell you.
Will you make a print explaining Snapchat for old people?
I think that Snapchat for old people is just like, just delete it from your phone, and that is the easiest way to understand it for me.
Yeah, it was a photo of my hip replacement.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I feel like you would only use it for bad and not for good, Mike. You shouldn't be on Snapchat.
Did you try Jelly?
No, I didn't.
I love Jelly.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
It's the perfect app for Is This Infected?
Oh, gross. Remember how we're talking about podcasting about positive things? Doing things for the greater good.
Here, I'll show you one of my posts.
No, I don't want to look at your infections. Brad, what else have you been doing lately?
Trying to make Valentine's. It's all licensed work.
Yeah, I mean, is it... Oh, gross! Why did I look? I'm such a fool. Oh, my God.
And then you looked over. Don't touch that.
Don't scratch that.
Yes, it's infected. I think that's...
No, it's not. It looks very clean.
No, I'm just going to... I don't care. Is there... Back to this art thing. I mean, fan art is obviously a very popular thing to do. Is there any...
I guess what is it if you don't sell it, if you're just distributing it widely? Like that... Is that still
like
fine?
Giving it
I assume
away?
That's still fine?
I think that...
Well, I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
I mean, it's... I think so, but it's all in the eye of the person holding the copyright. I mean, to a large extent. I love fan art. I mean, some of the greatest shit I've ever seen is just people taking these cultural artifacts that we're all really familiar with and putting their own spin on it. I think that shit is awesome. And I can't even, like... being the copyright owner of that stuff, whether it's like Lucas or Disney or whoever, and saying, don't do that because this is people who clearly love what you do and they're putting their own spin on it and they're helping with the livelihood of your original stuff.
Well, that's when it's the brand aligned thing. But then to contrast that, you have the Beyonce photo from the Super Bowl mm-hmm. or Super Bowl, whatever, of last year. Do you remember this? Is that she had, there was some unflattering still.
Oh, I remember that.
And then they asked some, you know, the Beyonce people asked it to be taken down. And that was their mistake. And we'll probably learn that one every 4 years again. Mm-hmm. Don't ask anyone to take it down, because then...
Never ask anybody to take it down. Just blow it up bigger.
Exactly. But so that's because that was not brand aligned is why they didn't like that. The posse of Beyonce. But I feel like a lot of the Star Wars stuff that comes out, well, people are like showing you how to make lightsabers and like maybe how the inside of it would work. Like a lot of that stuff is really cool and helps enhance the story.
Well, I mean, there's also the here's Luke taking Leia from behind fan art, which I'm sure they're not too thrilled with.
Geordi and Data making out.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, if for Star Wars, I think especially the demographic that that is interested in Star Wars, I think that that kind of work is inevitable.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, brony stuff is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, brony, yeah, actually, brony stuff is interesting, because I think that that's actually just propelled the interest in an old 80s franchise, right? That, like, nobody cared about.
Well, it's a new, I mean, there's a current My Little Pony
show. Yeah, but now all of us know about it because of bronies. Like, I don't know about any other reboots of children. I mean, you're different. You watch cartoons. I don't watch cartoons. I don't know what is rebooted right now. I only know that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is.
That's right.
You watch it.
Really?
Apparently there's a reboot. Apparently it's quite good. I don't know. I don't understand the turtles still.
Big budget.
I don't understand the scale of it. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I know about My Little Ponies because it's become an internet phenomenon. And people are making a lot of brony paraphernalia.
There's a new Netflix documentary.
About bronies?
Yeah. I think that's what it's called. I think it's called Bronies.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Our friend Steve wasn't actually at that conference. I think he's not in it.
Yeah, so I guess fan art, when does becoming a fan, like, when is that not okay anymore? I guess
that's the other thing, too, right? Because when you're making money off it with quotes, if you're distributing shit for free, you can still be making ad revenue. You can still be enhancing your personal
brand
attention.
And attention.
Yeah.
You're still gaining value, even if it's not monetary. Because, like, what if you were, like, actually, let's use that same example of the Mountain Goats lyric. If you had not made any money off of that, but you had made that like your, what you were all about, like your personal slogan or something like that.
Maybe a little weird, right?
Yeah, yeah. But
I think that would be weird.
It would be weird. So that's like, you're not selling it, but...
I mean, have you been to like the Pinterest word board section?
No.
Because that's all like people putting words onto, you know, a Katy Perry lyric onto a picture of a sunset, slapping it on Pinterest. And those things are wildly popular. Mm-hmm. And no one's making money off of them, but the initial artist is generating credibility. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the person who put the lyric on the picture. Mm-hmm. They're gaining Pinterest followers that maybe they can spin out into a career.
Good God.
Pinterest is very popular, Mike.
I know. We got to wrap up.
All right. Well, that was a... Brad, you came so prepared. I don't know if you saw this, Mike, but Brad had like a bullet point list.
I saw it.
Did we get through everything? Yeah.
Did you learn anything? Because I don't know if I had anything interesting to say.
No, you didn't.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I put the prints up on Pinterest. Like, here, I've made them. And at some point, I'll make a website. And then I think I'll sell the ones that I'm comfortable with selling, is what I'm going to do.
All right.
And not some other ones.
Will you give us that Pinterest link so that we can put it on the...
Don't get the show sued.
It's just Pinterest.
All right.
They're not being sold. They're just for looking at. They're very cool prints. I highly recommend looking at them. And if you like them, you can hire the artist, Brad Ellis, at pacifichelm.com.
Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, of course. It's like free sponsorship. You can also hire Mule Design Studio.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome, Brad. quite a setup you have.
Pleasure to have you. Thank you.
Lovely office, Brad.
Yeah. I think you guys should just take the show over. Fuck it.
You don't want that.
I'm tired.
Yeah. Maybe we can have Louie on next time.
That'd be great.
It's your favorite. You know, I think Louie actually listens to some.
Is he
going to
wear a funny outfit?
Louie listens to some of this, okay? He listens. Hi, Louie.
Hi, Louie.
Hi, Louie.
Sorry, Mike makes fun of you. He does it to everybody.
I don't make fun of him.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
All the time. It's so easy. I
Maybe
understand.
A little bit.
Yeah. All right, we're wrapping up. Thank you, everybody, for a wonderful episode.
We'll see you all next week.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. Bye, Call
Mom.
Me.